Welcome back to the Moms Better Together podcast. Be sure to check out episode 5, where we talk about developing goodness and holiness in our kids and probably for ourselves too. So today we have a special guest with us, Julie Sanders. She is coming all the way from Oregon. Lori Wildenberg is actually in Colorado, and then I'm coming to you from Nebraska. And so we invited her on to the podcast because she's also a part of our Moms Together team. She is a mentor, and she's also our Moms Together prayer director. So Julie, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so as you said, I now call the Northwest my home. And my husband, Jeff, and I have been married for a little over 30 years. We have two adult kids, and we kind of consider Oregon our base because we work globally with outreach and leadership development. And I especially have a heart for developing the ministry of women to other women. And I love working with people of other cultures and just really helping give them just tools, resources, encouragement for prayer in their lives in every culture, and discovering God's truth for their life that really touches every culture around the world.
So Julie, you may not be aware of this, but Heather and I joke that you are Yoda.
Yes, we do. We do. We so do.
So for those of you who are listening in, you are in for a treat today. And Julie she just exudes, and I know you're going to feel a little uncomfortable, but I'm going to say it anyway. She exudes wisdom and grace. And who better to have on to talk about the difficult topic of forgiveness than Julie? But before you get a chance to hear from our Yoda Julie, we are going to get just a little bit of background on Joseph and, you know, how he dealt with his brother's betrayal, which, boy, being betrayed by your brothers, man, that'd be pretty horrible. Anyway, so Heather, if you could kind of kickstart us off with a little bit of background on Joseph and how he responded to such a terrible thing, that would be really great.
Joseph was the favorite son of Jacob. 10 of his 11 brothers hated him. They considered killing him, but instead they sold him as a slave. Then they told their father, like, this big, huge, whopping lie that a wild animal must have killed their brother. So talk about betrayal and deceit. There were many things happening to Joseph during his time in Egypt as a slave, but today we're going to be focusing on forgiveness and his amazing response to grace and forgiveness. To give a concentrated version of Joseph's story, it's found, if you guys want to read along later on, you can. It's found in Genesis chapters 37 through 50. And so he went from being a slave to a prisoner to being Pharaoh's second in command. So he was responsible for saving Egypt from famine. And that same famine drew his 10 brothers to Egypt looking for help. And at the time, the brothers found themselves asking the second in command for assistance, but they didn't recognize that it was his brother. You know, in today's culture, especially like the secular culture, everybody tells us that we have the right not to choose to forgive someone, but that's not God's ways. God's ways are so different than ours, and he knows so much better than we do in terms of forgiveness. So as the story unfolds, Joseph responded, you know, to his brothers with a very heavenly perspective. It's actually astounding what he did.
Yeah, it's crazy. That, you know, he could have tried to, like, punish his brothers, put them in jail. He could have totally done that. He could have had them killed. He could have just turned them away and not helped them during this time of famine. But he responded so differently. And at this time, Joseph was probably approaching 40. And when he was, when his brothers tossed him in the cistern and thought they were going to kill him and then change their minds because they wanted blood on somebody else's hands, they were going to let him go and be a slave. He was 17. So a certain amount of time had passed, and God had done a lot of work in Joseph's heart and apparently in his brothers. So when Joseph recognized that there was a change of heart, then he revealed to his brothers who he was. And he said to them, "Do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. Okay, whoa. So he is a really good example of forgiveness.
Well, many of us, I think, in that situation would choose revenge, or we would want to choose revenge, but Joseph chose not to. I think part of that too is because God had, you know, tempered his spirit over those years, and he cultivated forgiveness in his heart. And I think this was also part of God's plan. So Joseph forgave his brothers, and he showed them immense, immense kindness while saving his family and the entire nation of Egypt from starvation.
Maybe part of the process of Joseph forgiving his brothers was that Joseph was able to have a little bit of that heavenly perspective, and he recognized, as he was looking at the circumstances, God's hand in this and God's plan. So maybe that helped a little bit too. We've all gone through situations where we've been wronged, or, you know, been betrayed, and they probably aren't quite as dramatic as Joseph's, but some people do have some pretty dramatic stories, such as people who have been abused or abandoned. These are things that could be a part of a person's story. But Joseph's story shows us how God will use forgiveness to his glory, and how impactful and probably quite healing the granting of forgiveness can be.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country, dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
Julie, can you open our eyes to where our kiddos are at in this day and age, and as well as like other people in terms of forgiveness, especially like in this current cultural climate? You've identified several key aspects for us as moms to keep in mind. As you say, we need to tune our hearts to the frequency of forgiveness.
Yes, I think, you know, during my time of preparing and praying about our conversation, I've just really been impressed with how this is a season of what I would call amplified arguments. And I've just been paying attention to how frequently we're really put in a position of feeling offended. I think our lives in general feel much smaller. We're not having as much interaction with people in real life as we have in the past. But while our lives are smaller, our hurts are bigger. And we've had a lot to absorb. And I've identified six reasons why I think our arguments have become so heated today, and forgiveness has become difficult. We're really having to choose to be proactive about turning down this temperature and setting the thermostat of our hearts and our homes to forgiveness. The first one is because I think life is smaller. My family interactions are happening in a smaller context. Probably like you, our network used to feel very large and encompassed a lot of people, but it feels like a smaller context right now. And the scope of our communications, the feedback that we're getting has just become more narrow. I think our network has narrowed. Secondly, I think that we're having conflicts remotely. and often virtually and in smaller spaces. And hasn't this been the case in online schooling, in distance learning, and in remote work situations? So we're experiencing a lot of conflict or potential for offense virtually. And resolution has often been feeling as if it's out of our reach. We've had to be very intentional about resolution. The next reason, I think, is because we're experiencing conflicts inside a smaller circle of relationships. So we're having fewer people in our life up close and personal, but it's causing us to really question the intentions of each person's heart. And so we're doing, I think, we're spending more time really contemplating or questioning what's that intent of the heart. It's just the nature of a smaller circle of relationships. In addition to that, I think that the fourth reason is that my hurts feel bigger. I would say that in reflecting on this past year, I know that my feelings have been hurt this year. I can identify some especially low moments, but I'm also sure that I've hurt feelings this year. Sometimes I've been aware of, and probably sometimes I haven't been aware of, but I think that our hurts have been bigger. They've felt bigger. And that takes us to reason number five. I think we're living with limitations, but our feelings have expanded. So if you think about a lot of the changes this year, instead of going out, we're staying in. Instead of life being open, it's closed. Instead of going, we're staying. And so we've, without really intending to, or perhaps even being aware of it, we've fallen into life in this negative rut. And it's a rut of limitations, but our feelings have been amplified within those limitations. And then lastly, I think we're experiencing strong emotions without the familiar outlets to express them. And by this, I mean just our normal interactions with friends, play dates, just occasions to cross paths at the park. We're not necessarily spending time as easily with mentors or activities. The normal supports that we have been encouraged by or helped by in the past haven't been so accessible to us. And so we're having strong emotions without familiar outlets to express them. And when I look at these reasons for these amplified arguments, I'm thinking that when mothering in such a time as this, we have to enter into our relationships with an attitude of grace, really proactively arming ourselves with a readiness to forgive. And Lori, as you mentioned, I mean, Joseph's journey to a place of forgiveness happened over many years and many events. But I love that verse that you read in Genesis 45 that Joseph said, it blows my mind. He says, "Don't be angry for selling me here. You sold me, but it was to save lives that God sent me." So I love that Joseph pointed out that the offense and the very legitimate injury that happened was part of God's movement in his life. And he really credited it to God's account that he was sovereignly working a larger plan, not only for his glory, but also for the good of Joseph's family. So some of our injuries this year have actually been allowed by our tender-hearted father for the good of our family and for his glory in the midst of hard times.
Oh, I love what you said. You know, it's really God's providence over these heartaches and these situations. And often when we find ourselves in a situation where there's pain or conflict or, you know, betrayal, whatever, there are things that God will, he will use those things to train us, to soften our harder edges, to make us more empathetic. He will use those moments to his glory and for our good. And the fact that Joseph recognized that, I think, is a good reminder for all of us as we study Joseph and think about how that we could relate that to our situation and our family, that God still has providence over some of, you know, over these things. And there's always something that we can learn through hardship and heartache. You know, as you mentioned, Julie, as you were going through those 6 points, which I think are critical. And I love how you juxtaposed the idea of open and closed and life is smaller and, you know, the conflicts are bigger. But all of us, moms and family members, our kids, all of our sensitivities are heightened. And when we go through heartache and hardship, we are raw, we are heightened. And it reminds me of a time when a dear friend of mine, she and her husband, they were having their first baby and he was born and they knew he wasn't going to live long. He lived, I think, maybe 24 to 48 hours. I'm not sure. You can imagine the grief. But to preserve their marriage and to remember that they were both going through loss, they were both grieving, and they made an agreement with one another to attempt to be not easily offended, but also when the other spouse was behaving in a way that might have been hurtful or unloving due to the grief, they decided to offer up grace space to the other person. Just keep it at grace. And boy, you know, right now, even though we're not talking about the loss of a child, we are talking about other losses. And I think we could use their example and think about, wow, you know, in this particular season, there are losses that our kids are experiencing, as are we. So we are in a season of grief. And so what do? I think if we can remember to embrace grace, give people grace space, and as you said, have that readiness to forgive, that would really change the tone in our homes and in the way we interact with other people. I think there would be a huge amount of freedom there.
Oh, I love how you unpack that, Julie. And I also love the example that you gave, Lori, because I do think that, you know, we are going through the season of grief. But at the same time, you know, God is, you know, he's pushing us together, you know, inside our homes, because I think he's wanting us to strengthen the bonds in our family. He's wanting us to rely on each other a little bit more, because I think when you're looking at our culture, especially like before the pandemic, it was all about like the holy hustle. And it was all about, you know, putting our kids in one activity to the next. And it was just more, more, more. And then, you know, as a pandemic, you know, came in full force, you know, he put us inside these four walls. So that way, I think that we can kind of, you know, strengthen, you know, the family bonds and, you know, start addressing a lot of the things that tend to break families apart in the first place. I think a lot of the times that we don't realize that we don't have an attitude of grace. I don't think we realize that we get offended, you know, so easily. I think you're right that we do have stronger emotions with less outlets. It is so tough when our emotions are running high. So I tell my kids that our emotions are signals and indicators of what is going on inside of us. So how do we dial in our family to the frequency of forgiveness?
That's such a good question, Heather, because I think sometimes we can feel like the tone of our home can be hijacked by an offense, either an offense that we share as a family or even the offense that one family member brings home. And we feel like suddenly, what can I do? But we can do something. We don't have to let the tone of our home be taken away. And so I would say, you know, we're never going to expect these opportunities for forgiveness. We're probably not going to ask for opportunities for offense, but they are going to come. And sometimes we feel shocked by them when they come. So I just have 4 very simple, proactive decisions that I think that we can make as moms and grandmas in advance of offenses in our lives and around us. So the first one is to be an example. And I think that that this is so important because especially in our smaller life context, our family members have been watching each other more closely. We just have more opportunity to see more of each other's lives and reactions. So we really have to take actions to approach injuries with grace. I know during this pandemic season, I had a time where I was personally really offended. I felt so injured. And actually, I remember using the word with my husband, stunned. I'm just stunned by this. I didn't expect it. But I also knew that my kids, my grown kids, I've got two young adult kids, they were watching my spirit and my attitude. And when they would come over for dinner, for example, and we would intentionally connect as a family, it was important for me to come to that dinner table recognizing that I was an example of my attitude, even the degree to which I said, you know, they said, how's your day? The degree to which I describe my day is an example. How much drama am I bringing into that conversation, or how much negativity? I really want to be proactive in using the offenses God allows in my life to show my children what a heart attitude of grace or no grace sounds like. What does it look like on my face? So first, be an example. And then I would say, secondly, be mindful of our response to their life. So how are we responding as our kids are narrating the words and the actions of others in their life? Because our circle is smaller, I think my kids have shared some things with me this year that they may have instead shared with someone else, but they narrated it to me. I think lots of parents have faced this, even as children talk about what's happening in distance learning. What's happening in that classroom? They're telling the parents. And it's so easy as a mom or a grandma to jump ahead in feeling like the way to love our children is to be really angry with them. But actually, that's not really helpful for their heart. We do have to think consciously, what is my face messaging? What do my sounds and my body language message? Am I demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit from my heart in a way that I would want my children to duplicate or replicate my heart attitude? So second would be to be mindful of our response to their life. And then thirdly, be tender. You know, we talked a little bit about just God's tenderness in being with Joseph in the difficult experiences of his life. Even whenever Joseph was at his lowest, God never left him. And God, as our Heavenly Father, is such an example of tenderness. I would say during our times of trial, we all need tenderness, grown-ups and kids of all ages. So by creating a frequency of forgiveness in the atmosphere of our home, we really shape the tone that our home takes on in the environment in which we are living, the environment in which our kids are growing. There was a time this year, one of the times where I was the source of the injury, and it was over a family dinner. And I remember almost feeling like, what's coming out of my mouth? I think those are hurtful words. And I could see the expression on the face that I had hurt my family member. And it was really my husband demonstrating tenderness towards one of my children and tenderness towards me, even later, walking me through how the conversation had sounded and how that injury had led to wounding the heart of one of our kids. So I so appreciated that my husband chose to be tender with me in that moment, because it helped to really shepherd my heart through confessing, acknowledging, understanding, and changing the way I had communicated. And then the last one, first was be an example, then was be mindful of our response, be tender. And then the last one, I think, is close to my heart as I spend time with families around the world, and that is to be a peacemaker. We really have to choose to foster forgiveness in our families. But that doesn't mean we forgive for family members. Each family member, each age has to take initiative proactively to cultivate that heart of forgiveness. And God works through every one of those offenses, which takes us back to Genesis 45, that God had allowed those difficult circumstances and he was using it for the good of Joseph and his family, but also in the big picture for his glory.
Forgiveness is still important, but there may not be reconciliation like there was in Joseph's case. And that's something that, you know, we want to make sure that we cover too, that that forgiveness and reconciliation are not the same thing. Forgiveness requires one, reconciliation requires two. Heather, could you share Colossians 3:13 with us, a verse about forgiveness? Mm.
Oh, yeah. Colossians 3:13 says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." And I think that is, you know, especially important when it comes to some of the situations that you just mentioned, especially in a situation of abuse. For some reason, people tend to think that if I forgive, that gets them off the hook and that they also need to reconcile. And those are three completely different things. So that is so good that you mentioned that. Julie, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for talking with us about forgiveness. Moms, if you'd like to connect with Julie, you can find her over at the Moms Together Facebook group, leading the group chat on the second Monday of each month. And you can also find out more about Julie and her blog at juliesanders.org. Lori, would you mind closing us in prayer?
I'd be honored to. Father, thank you for this time to talk about Joseph and his wonderful example of forgiveness. And that really ups the bar for us, Lord. And help us not to be peacekeepers, but to be peacemakers and take an active role in creating peace. And remembering that, Lord, you are the one who is in charge of tenderizing and changing hearts. Thank you for this time with both Heather and Julie. And I pray that throughout our day today that you continue to remind us what bringing grace and forgiveness to our family can look like. And Lord, we trust that we will have opportunities to practice. In Jesus' name, amen. We hope this episode encouraged you and has equipped you with some easily applicable parenting tools. So yes, moms, give us a like.
And if you want to know more about Lori Wilderberg and me, Heather Riggleman, be sure to check out our website, wearemomstogether.com.
Moms Better Together is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed Heather and Lori's conversation today, will you take a minute to leave them a rating and review in your favorite podcast app so more people like you can find the show? This podcast was produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Stephen Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. To find more faith-filled, encouraging podcasts like this one, just head over to lifeaudio.com.
Want to learn more about God and His will for your life one verse at a time? I'm Quenice Petway, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. I'm inviting you to tune in and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.